to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
So George, Michael Connor here with you today as we little split this week. I'm out Thursday and Friday. I'm not out today. I'm right here.
Just you, Joe.
Jeremy's out today, clearly.
Jeffrey Branham.
My brain is elsewhere. We are not far from opening day.
Yeah, it really snuck up on me this year.
We're getting there. March 26th, opening day, 3 o'clock.
Spring training's, what, halfway
Angels.
Over at this point, basically?
Yeah. They were on TV today. We went downstairs to get coffee.
Oh, that's right, they were.
And they were actually on TV, which is nice to see.
Did anybody play in the game? I mean, the spring training at this point is a complete waste. They don't play guys at all.
No, I mean, look, I've...
I don't like it.
I'm kind of anti-preseason everything at this point. Because
I think it's wrong. I think that you set yourself up to come into the season not ready to go.
I agree.
And I think it's stupid. I think you need to look back to 15 years ago, and it's like an old man when you said when guys would go out and they were playing 7 innings of spring training games, and you need to be playing that.
I don't think they have to play right away, but I think you should be playing more as the season as the spring training goes on. I think in the NFL, you know, play more.
We're seeing some teams start to play guys a
because
bit more
look how bad. Yeah. Look, the reality is the NFL is a bad product. The first couple of games of the season,
yeah,
like teams are not ready. I mean, like the Saints are a great example of this 2 years ago, where Kubiak and Derek Carr dropped like 60 points in the first 2 games of the season.
Yeah, everybody thought, oh my God, Super
Bowl. And then they were the worst team in the NFL basically the rest of the year. And it's like, oh, well, it's because teams aren't really ready. You see, you know, 2 years ago, the Bengals missed the playoffs because they lost to one of the worst teams in the NFL when they lost to the Patriots in the first game of the season. So it's, I feel like the injury stuff is so overblown at this point. Like the fear of injury is not really reality.
We've
in
played
baseball, basketball, or football.
We've played the majority of these leagues for all of these years before this era of being so scared of it, where we weren't scared of it, and look what happened most of the time. Nothing.
Yeah,
you can't live in bubble wrap forever.
I've already decided, like, because of where the way the Texans, we'll get to the Astros in a second. The way the Texans season went this year with CJ Stroud and how bad it was
offensively. His ass is playing in the preseason.
He needs to play.
Yeah,
and
I'm with you.
He can skip one of the 3 games. That's fine. You don't need to play in all 3. You got to have one game where you got to cut your roster down.
And you know what? If he tears his ACL in one of them, it is what it is. It's
it
sports.
Is what it, exactly. Like, Michael Vick broke his leg in a preseason. That sucks. Like, it's the reality of what the sport is. But the Texans' offense was so bad last year. To me, going out there and getting work is valuable, especially when the last 2 years of every single day of training camp, I think we have had a combined 2 days in which the local beat reporters have had said the offense was good today.
Yeah, they never
every
say that.
Single day. It's the defense is good. And like, yeah, it's one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
The offense also sucks. Like, the Texans offense doesn't get real good work in the offseason because of how good that defense is.
Yeah.
So I think
I gotta push back a little bit. Like, I think what you're saying in theory is great, but only if the other teams are also playing starters. Because I too, would want C.J. Stroud to get reps and get in a rhythm and start to heat up before the season starts. But if he's, you know, past the first series playing against the other team's 2s and 3s, those reps don't really mean anything.
Good, great counter, because we saw last year the reports out of the inter-squad practices with Carolina was that the offense was really good.
Yeah.
It didn't really matter in the long term. I wish they all would play more. Or they would just get rid of them and do more of this inner squad stuff.
I'm fine with doing them. Yeah, that's fine. To me, it's the baseball one really bugs me. I think the Astros have gone really hard on it the last few years, where they just don't play guys. Like, you'll see, like, the number of at bats these guys get in spring training games. It's down to, like, you know, in the entire spring, they're there for a month in games and they get 30 at bats at best. And it's like, you've been there for a month.
What have you been doing?
Like, there's no reason for that. Like, for that, those last 2 weeks, you should be getting minimum 3 at bats a day in game situations. I don't care if it's a minor leaguer throwing.
And that's how I feel the same way about the Astros as I do the Texans. Is you started slow a couple times.
They started slow last year.
Yeah.
And guess what? At the end of the year, it cost them.
At the year before, they started dramatically slow. They were 10 games back in their division. They came back very quickly and got ahead of that thing.
Yeah.
But starting slow is not, especially this year when your schedule is pretty easy to start the season.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to. I don't get it.
I think we just baby these guys too much.
Absolutely. I understand they have a ton of money invested in these people, like tons and tons of money. So it's different than even it was 10, 15 years ago, even though there was a lot of money then, too. But, like, there's just so much money in it. It's just a mess. The whole thing's a mess.
All right. So How are you feeling about the Astros as we sit here like 20 days away?
I feel fine. I think that they're going to contend to win the AL West.
What's your biggest question right now? Is it just how they mix and match the infield and everything?
What's the outfield look like? I think they're going to find a here's my hot take, my thing. And you can get Ken Rosenthal and get out of here with his crap that he keeps pushing that there's going to be this contention in the clubhouse, whatever. Dude, like, that's just fear-mongering and trying to get people going. Like, that's all that is. And trying to create something that maybe is not there. I think Isak Paredes is going to play more first base than Christian Walker. Christian Walker gets contentious with it, but like, sorry, dude, better player.
Yeah, to me, like, that's where it simply comes down to is you just play him more at first if Walker's struggling.
Who cares? Like, okay, I mean, you're gonna pay him the money either way. Who gives a crap if he's on the bench? I don't.
And honestly, my thought on this has been, look, if
I also think Jordan's gonna play more left field than
I agree. We set the number at like 50 games. Think that's fair or too low?
I guess fair. I think Altuve's going to end up playing left field too.
See, I'm not sure because they seem like they've really moved away from that.
I think they're saying that now, and then look, it's like last year when they said he's just going to play left field. He ended up at second base.
Now, if Walker's playing well, and Paredes is playing well, and Jordan's playing well, and Altuve's playing well, then yes, Altuve can play left.
Yeah,
or one of them can DH, and you can move. Like, you have options. You have flexibility. Yeah. I'm not worried about that. I'm with you with the outfield.
Like, yeah, I mean, Cam Smith, is he going to blossom? Zach Cole's hitting the ball hard everywhere that he hits it in the spring.
Yeah.
But, like, is he going to be a big league player who doesn't swing and miss, a billion, kajillion times? And then what's the other left field spot basically look like?
I mean, I would imagine it's just going to be Jordan and Cole for the most part.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Unless they surprise us with a veteran signing.
I mean, is Jake Myers playing every day? Defensively, you want him out there.
I wanted to say yes, but now you've got both, McTaggart, Chandler pointing out that Joe Espada has been given ample opportunity to just name Jake Myers the everyday center fielder. McTaggart mentioned recently that they tried all offseason to trade Jake Myers.
I think it's still a possibility.
And he said that too.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I wonder if the Braves make a phone call after Profar gets suspended for 162. So, but
what are you getting in return? Because you have to get some sort of outfielder back.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Would you do...
Unless you're just like going to shock the world and do what you did with... Cam Smith and call Ethan Frey up from the jump.
That would be a big risk to have Frey and Cam Smith in your outfield.
Huge risk.
And I wonder if they learned their lesson at all this year. Now, fans are going to clamor for it.
Frey, if you don't know the name, Ethan Frey, third round pick last year at LSU. I mean, he's already smacked.
I do not know this man.
And would have gone much higher, right? But he had some injury issues. I think
smacked
it was
a home run today against Baltimore.
So the Astros drafted a guy with injury issues?
Yeah.
Shocking. Discomfort
fits right in.
He had discomfort.
Hey, I think they've retired that.
What?
They haven't said it once this spring.
Well, yeah, so far. We'll just wait till the season gets here.
No, I think
they're just not going to tell you in the spring.
I just think they've retired the word discomfort.
Yeah. Hopefully.
I mean, look, it's a little thing. I'll take it. Yeah. I don't want to hear that word ever again.
That's fine.
Man. I just don't want to hear it.
Learned a lesson from the Texans. You could just never tell us.
Which is honestly the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, we've gotten quite. Like, the other one would be the back end of the bullpen. A little bit of just how long is Josh Hader out for?
I am deathly afraid of that one.
It could be long term.
Yeah, I mean, like, this screams I've got an actual arm issue. Like, you were shut down at the end of last year. You've got things that keep popping up. You've not really thrown off the mound yet.
Especially when the timeline is as weird as it
is. He's missing at least the first month of the season.
You know, you're shut down. It's, hey, if they make a run, he could be available.
Yeah.
And then it's he's been pitching. Off flat ground,
and
then he gets hurt, and now he's back to being on the flat ground.
And they didn't do anything to this bullpen really. Like, this relievers are so they're the most unpredictable part of this sport. These guys, all these guys that had great seasons last year out of that bullpen, are just as likely to come out this year and be complete garbage. Like, what happens when De Los Santos is like terrible like he was before, and you're having to DFA him 3 weeks into the season, or whoever else? Like, their bullpen, I think, has a chance to quickly be an issue. And on top of that, because you mentioned Hader, I like Brian Abreu. We all like Brian Abreu. Mm-hmm. Brian Abreu is not a premier closer. And you want to know why? He doesn't throw enough strikes. He walks too many hitters. It will always be an issue. He's a premier strikeout king. But he is never going to me, in my opinion, he will never be an elite closer because he just puts himself into too many situations that are bad.
Now, those guys are hard to find, closers.
Yeah. So the that's only, why when you have a Josh Hader, he's elite for a reason.
So the only thing I've been thinking about with this Paredes issue mm-hmm. that it could or could not be there. I think it could not be there. I think it's more it's not an issue. Is if they do get a result from Hader at some point that gives them long-term concern,
mm-hmm.
is if you could use Paredes to solve some of your bullpen issues. And I know right now they've been talking about the outfield, and like you want to, you know, Rosenthal and Chandler today have been talking about how the Red Sox are the perfect marriage. I feel like that has come and gone.
Well, no, the perfect point. Marriage only if you're getting one player.
Yeah.
And but not the other one.
Could you solve some bullpen issues potentially with a Paredes move? I think you could. That to me seems more like a deadline move
yeah.
of, hey, everyone's healthy at the deadline. Josh Hader's not coming back this season. We need to go get a closer. We're trading Isak Paredes to go get a closer from a lower level team. Like that could be the path. They could down eventually. But I think, yeah, the back end of the bullpen, what that looks like, the outfield, I'm not worried about the infield stuff. They'll figure it out. It's to me, it's like those are the biggest questions.
Yeah. And right I think kind of like the, you were talking about the Texans earlier, I don't have a lot of – I know that the Mariners were an out away from – or what were they? Were they an out away from the World Series, whatever, last year? Or an inning away from the World Series, whatever it was? They were super close. They're going to pitch. I didn't really think that they did anything to help their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be competitive, but I could easily see them being an 88-win team. And then, you know, the Rangers, I don't – they can pitch, but – I just don't think that they're going to be all that competitive. I think they're like a 75-win team in this
division. So right now, the Astros win total is still at 86.5.
Okay.
The Rangers are at 83.5.
Way too high.
And the under. Seattle Mariners are at 89.5. So like even right now, with like the questions around the Astros, the win total is a 3-game difference.
Yeah.
It's not a big amount. Like I'm not sure you need 90 wins this year. Or
I think 90 wins probably wins the division.
Yeah, I think it's right around there. Like I think that's a good number for the Mariners. I think the Astros number is good too.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
I'm on the over on it, but I don't think they're going to run past it.
The Astros are not the best team in the American League. I am confident telling you that walking into this season right now.
Is it the Blue Jays? You add Cease, you lose Bichette. I mean, they had Santander, but he got hurt.
Man. Yeah, it probably is. I hate saying this. I think if the Yankees were guaranteed that they're getting a full year of Cole and you know their rotation's healthy, they're going to be tough. But they're also the Yankees. They screw up when it's time to you know, and they didn't do anything in their lineup. Their lineup's the same crap, swing and miss, same problem.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole said yesterday he's hitting 97 already.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah, he'll be back sooner rather than
they can later. Pitch. The question with them is going to be it's probably still the Blue Jays. They're probably going to be better than they were last year. The question is, are they that classic lose the World Series, better in the regular season the next year, flame out early in the postseason?
Yeah, I think the American League is wide open again this year. To me, it's about just getting in the dance.
I would agree there.
I don't think
it's not a great league.
Yeah, I mean, like I think all of baseball is kind of neutral at this point, outside of the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know.
They'll three-peat, and we'll hate our lives. No, we'll go into a lockout.
They're not going to three-peat because they're going to be in the World Series this year. When they need a crucial at-bat, Kyle Tucker's going to ground out the first base.
Or pop up.
We'll take our next break here. There's one other question about the Astros, is how the rotation plays out. You any hope for Lance McCullers this year? We'll get to that next year on ESPN 97.5.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off.
Now back to the Huntington Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Classic white boy.
I know what I'm listening to on the way home. Limp Bizkit, baby.
As you said, you said you had an hour drive home?
Yep.
Yeah, welcome back to the radio.
Me and a chocolate-covered starfish or chocolate-flavored... What was it? No, chocolate-flavored water?
No, the chocolate starfish and the hot dog-flavored water. I'm sad that I knew that, but I knew that.
I knew it.
Because I had the album.
I did, too.
Yeah, I had it.
I'm adding him to my Spotify right now.
Lance McCullers.
Is he alive still?
He is.
Oh, yeah, we talked to his coffee.
Him with an 8-pitch outing. His first one. Touched 94. The 94-3 threw his fastest pitch. He only threw one faster pitch last year.
I gotta say, it was sad watching him talk.
I was gonna kind of start there. Yeah. I mean, because we talked about it when it first came out and when he met with the media in like the middle of February. And he is I'm looking at one of the quotes here where it says, I would love to be good, not because I want to necessarily continue to play, but just because I would love to be good for this organization, this fan base in my last year. It was sad. I mean, he kind of teared up a little bit.
We give him a lot of crap, but I will give that man this. Of all, man, Correa has been committed. Jose has been committed. There has not been a man that has loved being an Astro, I think, more than Lance McCullers.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. I mean, look, he's part of the history. Nobody will ever, 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 ever forget that ALCS game. Ever. I'll also never forget watching him give up bomb after bomb in Philadelphia in the World Series. But I will also not forget that he started that 18-inning game against Seattle and was tremendous in that game.
Yeah, I mean, look, he threw a 40-pitch outing, two-inning sim game yesterday in West Palm Beach. Yeah. So he's at least getting through without getting hurt.
Like, yeah. Ouch. He's going to have to perform, though. Like, if he comes out and he's floating a 6.5 ERA after, you know, 5-6 starts, I think we're going to be hearing the Lance McCullers has been designated for assignment.
I think that's, we've talked about that quite a bit, where I think it's on the table. I do think he's going to start the year in the rotation, though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Just because they're going to go six man. Start the year.
His value always is that he's at his best when he's starting, because even he's good, he's good.
Yeah.
But if the results aren't there, the results aren't there.
And the only thing that might prevent him from being DFA'd is that Crane likes him.
Does he?
There could be
I don't know about that anymore. There could paid be him $85 million for like 12 starts.
Yeah, but there could be like a phantom injury where they just keep him around.
There could be that.
Because they could have got rid of him last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, horrible when he came back.
They could have moved on from last year. So that's why I'm not convinced that just because he's, you know, bad.
Yeah, it's probably
means
fair.
Means that, you know, we'll see that actually transpire. But I have low expectations. If essentially, I'd say no expectations.
Oh, zero.
For Lance. Like honestly, any...
If he's going to start, he's got to get you five innings. You can't be starting him and him going four with a six-man rotation and then burning through a bullpen. So
that's my biggest concern. With not just Lance, but the entire rotation.
Yeah.
Is outside of Hunter Brown, I'm just not sure how deep you can go. And that goes back into the Josh Hader conversation we were just having. Where
Burrows is going to have to come in and instantly be a six-inning guy.
Yeah.
He has to. There's no other way around it.
You have to have one. You have to have two guys getting you six innings.
Imai's got to be a six-inning guy.
Like, what? Like, at least Imai or Burrows has to do it. Because I don't really
trust both.
I don't trust Javier to do it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's who really does have to do it. But is he going to?
I know we've talked a lot in the past about him being a two-pitch guy. And last year, he, you know, slowly brought in the third pitch.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty good at times. Like,
yeah.
I think now with where his, you know, money owed, I know his tax purposes, it balances out. But, like, his money owed jumps up quite a bit this year.
Like 20 or something.
Something like that. Yeah. And so Javier is kind of the guy I feel like you need to be the most comeback tour-ish.
He's got
to
be the number two.
But I don't think he will be. Like, if I was going to bet on it, I'd bet on Imai or Burrows.
I would bet on Burrows right now. Of the two, I think Imai is a solid 3-4. I'm interested to see how this season plays out for him with the whole opt and out thing and... You know, do the Astros dive back into keeping him if he does opt out? Like, I think that is a very, very interesting aspect of this season.
To me, I mean, the best case scenario, I think, is he's awesome and opts out, and then you try to bring him back.
Yeah, like, I think it, you know, you talked about, again, this is, you want to make grounds in Japan and everything. This is, if he's good, you don't let the player walk.
Well, I mean, Crane said that's going to be part of their new strategy going forward.
Yeah, well, your new strategy then, if he's good, is to keep him.
Which, about time. Like, it's about time you finally...
Oh, yeah, it took way too long.
We were talking about this before they signed Imai. I was like, I don't get it. I don't get why, like, they're never in the mix. They're never...
They didn't even have scouts over there.
Yeah, they never signed any international players directly from Japan.
Yeah.
And they were never connected to anyone. They were never rumored. There was never a meeting. I mean, Imai came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, you would see, like, people said he could be a fit for the Astros, but, I mean...
But their history was that they never signed these kind of players.
No, but now they're... Which is just a weird... I'm not anti-Crane, really. I'm pretty pro Jim Crane. I do find it a little strange, though, that like you've never done this, and then just because you have a Japanese media Japanese company that endorses your stadium now, you're just like, hey, we got to do it.
He sees it, what the Dodgers are doing money-wise.
Yeah, I just look at why he didn't do it before. It took Daikin to come in and be the sponsor of the stadium to really trigger this need to go out and do it.
Yeah, because you could have done it before and just had Japanese stuff all over the place.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be just the ballpark.
Yeah, and so I think I'm hopeful for him. I mean, I don't, like, some of these guys are really good. Some of them are really bad.
Yeah, like his fastball doesn't move. I think that's going to be the biggest question. He throws a flat fastball. How's it going to work?
I mean, like Roky Sasaki is terrible.
Awful.
He got yanked yesterday. He threw 8 strikes, walked 3 guys. Yep.
Like, I mean, thank goodness for them. He was stupid enough to come over before he could get serious money.
Yeah, because, but I, he might, like, Lance is just going to be, whatever he gives you positive this year is going to be gravy. But the most important thing I think you said, Michael, is that he's got to give you some kind of length. Someone has to do it this year. With Hader out for who knows how long, you have to have some guys in this rotation. Just
can't blow through bullpens every, no. every couple days.
Or you can't do the 6-man rotation.
Yeah.
Like they don't work together. You have to get length or you have to move one of these guys into the bullpen. And like that's where I think the McCullers conversation gets really interesting is that if he is like slightly below average, is he worth DFAing? Probably not.
But I mean, honestly, you just probably go to a 5-man rotation, put him in the bullpen.
See, I don't think he's capable of doing that.
I don't think he is either, but like at that point, do you just have him as a swing man?
And just like you're like, hey, we know Burrows or you know Javier's only getting us 4 innings.
Yeah, like some nights we're going to need you to give us you know 3 innings at a time.
And McCullers is just piggybacked with him permanently?
Something. I don't think he could be permanent, but like at least having that option.
Yeah,
I
just don't. I think if McCullers is average at all, but they feel the need to go to back to a 5-man rotation, I think it's Eric Eddie. Gets shoved back into the bullpen.
Yeah, I could see that too.
And like Lance, now if Lance is bad, it solves all these problems. You DFA him, you phantom injury him.
Oh, it doesn't really solve any problems, I think.
But it like
solves maybe a roster crunch.
Solves a roster crunch. It lets you bring someone else up to fill that bullpen spot.
Yeah.
As you go into it, but it's I know there are people like I typed in Lance McCullers and the first thing that popped up was Lance McCullers is going to have an incredible season this year. I was like, okay. I know Michael Schwab, so he was going to get Cy Young votes last year. Yikes, bad take.
That guy.
You just made the list.
I mean, it's maybe the worst take of the year.
That guy doesn't know what he's talking about, and he's not an insider. You guys got to stop following him on accounts.
Hey, Inside the Icebox.
I mean, double down. He said Cam Smith was going to get MVP votes a month ago.
I'm going to be honest with you. He is the worst thing that has happened to Houston media because he's not a media member. He's some guy sitting on his couch. And I don't know why anybody – he's an idiot. I'll just say it.
I'm trying to be
– I mean, he got the Jesus Sanchez news, though.
He did. Somehow he got the shirt.
Oh, man. He got Jesus Sanchez news.
He got credited by Rome and whoever else. I don't remember exactly.
He got the Scherzer deal, which that one was the one that blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
He got that first. I was like, it was so random.
Whatever. I don't care.
All right. Brian threw something on the rundown the other day that I thought was very interesting that we haven't got to yet because we got some rule changes happening. Not in the NFL. Some are staying, but also some rule changes in the other league that – one that Brian likes and one that he doesn't. I'm curious if we're on the same page and if we want to see the NFL adopt these. We'll get to that next year. It's Jeremy and Joe, Michael Connor, filling in for Jeremy here on ESPN 97.5. Since 1976, D&M Leasing has been in business, and they opened their doors with one mission: make getting a vehicle easier, smarter, and more affordable than buying it the old-fashioned way. 50 years later, that mission has not changed. But the reason people keep coming to D&M has only grown. They're tired of negative equity, tired of wasting weekends at dealerships, and tired of paying too much for too little. And if you've never leased a vehicle before, you don't got to worry. You're not going to be working with a rookie. You'll be working with someone who's on average been there for 10 or 20 years. And they know how to save you money, protect you from that depreciation, and design a lease around your life. So if your payments are too high, you're stuck in negative equity, or you just want that smarter way to upgrade, call D&M at 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today. And since you're a listener to me and this show and this station, if you put my name on the box of where you heard it here about D&M Leasing, I might even bring you that new lease vehicle. Call them right now, 713-290-1000 or visit dmautoleasing.com today.
ESPN 97.5. With Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
All right, we're going to talk about some news here.
Not good news.
That we're waiting on, what's the best way to put this? American confirmation?
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to put this?
I think so, because there's not a single American reporter, mainly Chandler Rome or Brian McTaggart, that you're looking for.
Yeah, here. Or any of the big ones.
But this guy does have a following.
All right. We're going to...
Joe's going to say his name.
I guess I don't think this qualifies as Jose Jorge, but...
Este Amor?
This is going to be the worst thing I've ever said.
Let's see it. Let's hear it.
Dionisio Sedovia.
I think your last name was stronger than the first time.
Well, it's a lot of I's. There's three I's.
You sounded more confident with the last name than you did the first.
D-I-O-N-I-S-I-O. Dionisio? I think that's how you say it. Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It seems, because I don't speak this language.
He's a reporter.
And a radio host, it looks like, in the Dominican Republic.
Where the Dominican Republic team is currently playing exhibition games.
And 1 hour ago, he reported that Jeremy Pena suffered a small fracture in one of his fingers and will miss at least the first round of the World Baseball Classic.
Off to a great start.
Chase the fight.
So,
worst, one of their worst slogans
It is
ever.
Their worst.
It's not as bad as... Run root, it for the, back. Root for the good guys.
No, it was take it back.
That wasn't that bad.
Take it back was fine.
Yeah,
but this is bad.
Yeah, the good guys one was pretty lame. That was in the Drayton years.
Feel
wasn't
the
it?
Buzz. Yeah, they had a bunch of really bad ones. But yeah, apparently Jeremy
never heard the good guys one before. That's bad. But apparently, according to this guy, who's in the Dominican Republic with the Dominican Republic baseball team, is reporting that Jeremy Pena suffered a small fracture in one of his fingers, will miss at least the first round. Of the World Baseball Classic. So,
you believe this guy's legit?
He's got 60,000 followers. He's followed by Buster Olney, Eduardo Perez, and John Heyman on Twitter.
Seems
so
fair.
Because of who follows him, I kind of think yes. Now, again, Brian McTaggart, Chandler Rome, none of the guys, Ken Rosenthal, Heyman, none of them have confirmed this report. But at least for now, it's being said that this is what occurred.
He was out there smacking a triple, I think, last night in there. Exhibition game.
So we'll wait. I guess we have to wait for like official confirmation, but it seems like based on who has this, that some of the media, baseball media companies are running with it. So they at least find it somewhat credible to share it along. And this is why the infield situation was never untenable. Because while the report is, will it miss at least the first round of the World Baseball Classic, which I believe is only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
It's
a fractured finger.
If it's a fractured finger, then. It's more than just that.
Yeah, he's going to miss that whole tournament.
So,
We're talking this is an issue for the Astros.
I mean, this is it's what happened in the last World Baseball Classic.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve got hit, broke his thumb.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, like even if he was be good after this weekend, don't the Astros just have to say, too bad?
Yeah, no, you got to come home. You got to come home. Yeah, like, you're not playing.
It's over.
And this is what one of two Astros players are participating in the World Baseball Classic. Oh, no. So
you guys are completely... Completely forgetting Shea Whitcomb.
Who's he playing for again?
Korea.
Oh, that's right.
He smacked a home run yesterday in their exhibition game.
How many errors did he have?
Probably a few.
So this goes back to, we talked about it earlier. Jeremy and I were talking about it for 2 months now, about how untenable this infield situation is. Congratulations. This is why you don't trade Isaac Paredes.
He's playing third base right now.
Because this is unfortunate.
Carlos Correa is at short.
This is an unfortunate injury. This isn't the soft tissue injuries or massage injuries that have plagued guys of this infield of the past. But Carlos Correa is now your shortstop, and Isaac Paredes is at third base. And even if it's for 2 weeks or 3 days or 2 months, you solved your infield problem. This is why I was always against trading Paredes.
Yeah,
because
I don't want to trade him.
I talked about this yesterday with Jeremy. Why do we always talk about not having enough pitching depth and how the Astros got crushed for not having enough guys? And they see all these injuries. And it's like, well, they could have added extra pitching in the offseason, these veteran pitchers who would supposedly willingly sit in Sugarland and pitch for the Space Cowboys. But having Paredes on this roster was such a problem. So if this report is 100% true, we'll see how much time Jeremy Pena misses. But Carlos Correa is going back to short unless they surprised us like crazy. And Nick Allen was your everyday shortstop.
Lord help me if Nick Allen's playing shortstop every day.
It would have to be he missed opening day only kind of a thing. And even then, Correa plays shortstop.
Yeah, play Correa at shortstop, play Isaac Paredes at third, and there you go.
Yeah. So, look, it's...
Nick Allen is your break in case of a real emergency situation.
Who apparently has been taking reps in left field also.
Okay, cool.
So I guess that also
could be... So he can not hit in left field?
Yeah, could also be one of their options.
Yeah, so he can not hit in left field. You know, you don't get a... You don't. We're coming off of two different utility players. Really three. You look at the trend here. We went Marwin Gonzalez, Ledmus Diaz, and Mauricio Dubon. These guys, they're not white guys. Nick Allen ain't going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't play like that. Just saying.
Look, this sucks for the Astros. Like, there's no way to put it. Like, it's two World Baseball Classics and two injuries to your infielders, and we'll see how long Peña would be out for. But this is why, again, there was never, to me, a rush, unless you're significantly improving this roster, to trade Paredes.
I mean, different positions, but a broken finger kept Arrigetti out for, what, 2.5 months?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
This is a guy that's gripping a bat, being your leadoff hitter. Which hand is it on? If it's his left hand, that's an actual issue.
Yeah.
That's your lead hand there.
And look, and the way it's reporting, miss at least the start of the World Baseball Classic, maybe it's not a significant fracture.
Who knows?
What Brian said, bring him home.
Yeah, bring him home is right.
Like, hey, buddy, you can't play.
Yeah, sorry.
You're not allowed to even risk it at all.
You have to get back here to get to our trainers.
But this is why people... Thing? Well,
did they get new people?
Well, no, they only really replaced.
They fired the guy at the top. I don't know if they replaced everybody.
I think for the most part, it's kind of the same group.
But they've evaluated their return to play scenario, guys. That's what they say.
They've 3 years after James Click said they should.
Yeah, yeah. They evaluated it. Doesn't mean that they're going to change anything, but they've evaluated it. They've looked at it.
We're being accused of jinxing this because we talked about discomfort.
By a texter. Oh. Yeah, maybe we did jinx it.
Well, this isn't discomfort. This is fracture.
That's true.
I think there's a difference.
Yeah, there is. It's a big difference.
Now we'll see if the Astros use the word finger discomfort.
I'm just sitting here, a finger discomfort.
I don't like that, Joe.
I don't either.
I don't like it.
Please, how did you get that finger discomfort, sir?
Please don't say that, Joe.
Why? I thought it was funny.
Every time you say it, I will play that drop you don't want me to play.
Play it.
I don't want to see wieners.
I don't want to see them.
You want to see wieners?
Don't want to see them.
Wants to see wieners?
Don't.
I don't want to see wieners.
Oh, you don't? Oh, don't okay. I saw the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile the other day.
Really?
Driving down 45.
That's so random.
Did you follow?
Well, for a while, because they didn't get off the freeway. I was also not getting off the freeway.
All right, so if you missed the news, Jeremy Peña reportedly has a fracture in his finger, and we will wait and see how long he's actually out for. The report reads as...
Chase the fight.
We'll miss at least the first round of the World Baseball Classic, but likely, I'm saying likely more time than that. So
I would bet
Joe George is reporting first. Likely more
Joe George injury expert.
Yeah,
like Dr. David Chow.
Hopefully Ryan Leaf doesn't yell at me. Did you hear about that?
I did.
Yeah, I don't want to be yelled at by anyone.
Only reason that I caught onto that story is because I've been around an incident in a radio.
You know,
it wasn't me, but I was there with the people that were involved.
Did you see Pendergast get hit in the eye?
I did,
with a Tide Pod
and lose his mind.
I don't blame him. It was still a very funny video. Yeah, I love Sean, but like, I honestly think he reacted appropriately.
I still wish Seth Payne had kicked Josh in his ass.
Were you in Minnesota when you guys?
I was there.
Okay,
I was escorted. Were you out. There? I was yeah, escorted
how
out by
were
NFL.
You guys there for like a day.
I was there the day before.
Okay,
I was also doing a New Orleans radio show at the time on top of the Houston stuff, and we did the New Orleans show from a table that we were not given because it was last second trip,
mm-hmm.
and the NFL media was people were looking were. Just going to say, they just said, we're not going to say anything. Just sit at this table, whatever. And we get up the next morning to go. And that whole incident happened. And within an hour and a half, we were being escorted out by NFL security during the middle of shows. It's awesome. A great day.
I wish I would have been there for that.
We were doing the shows from the Holiday Inn near the Mall of America.
I remember the show with Braddock, and I can't remember who else was on from their hotel room. That was interesting.
Oh, buddy.
I've listened to that show.
If you want to hear the real story there, that man may or may not have almost killed Josh Innes in the lobby of the hotel that day.
I believe it.
And basically got kicked out by the hotel management.
I've seen the video. All right. We'll take our final break here. When we get back, we'll get to our Junkie of the Day. That's next year. On ESPN 97.5. NCAA March Madness is coming to Houston. Attendance encouraged, passion mandatory. Get your tickets now at ncaa.com/MBB tickets.
ESPN 97.5. This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie. Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like I'm some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out
with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
Again, if you missed it, Jeremy Pena reportedly has a fractured finger. Reports coming out of the Dominican Republic. We'll miss at least the start of the World Baseball Classic. More information probably come on that in the next day or so. So John and Lance tomorrow morning, we'll have that for you.
Is Lance back?
As well. So, just kidding. John and Raheel, we'll have that for you tomorrow. Lance returns on Monday. Missed 8 shows. A lot of time off, Lance.
It's okay.
All right, Charlie.
I mean, you're missing 4 days over the next 12 work days. Or no, 7 work days.
Yeah. I'm out tomorrow and Friday. Going to rodeo tomorrow.
Tell Jeremy thanks for inviting me in. Only you invite me
Son's birthday on
Lance
Friday.
Lance occasionally invites me in.
I got a wedding next week.
Taking off for the rodeo?
Yeah. Want to go. Go enjoy it. Why not? I got vacation days to burn.
All right.
This company doesn't let me roll over enough, so I got to use them. It's the truth. I lost like 4 vacation days last year, so I'm going to use
them. What are you doing?
I butchered the timing. I'm also a good teammate.
That's true.
I work when I have vacation days I should be taking.
Stupid.
All right, junkie of the day.
I agree. First junkie of the day nomination, Joe giving up 4 days of PTO.
You know what?
Idiot.
I second that. So, Mike Connor, you're the guest here today, junkie of the day?
I'm going with John Rahm.
Okay, what'd he do?
He just keeps complaining about having to give money to the DP World Tour to get his ability to play in the next Ryder Cup.
Nice.
This is a man that got
complainers are good.
Contract over $300 million, been the report from LIV Golf. You chose to do it, buddy. You did. You chose to take all that money.
Yeah, I won my first major last night in 2K.
Did you?
In 2K.
Which major did you win?
I won the Masters.
Oh, look at you, green jacket. Why do you wear your green jacket today?
What's going to be in the menu next year, Joe?
Probably Portillo's.
Is Portillo's like laundering money for somebody or something?
They just make so much money.
What? No, but why do they build? But why do they build these places here?
Based in Chicago, is that why are you saying that?
Why are they building these places here with these mega drive-throughs? And I drive by them, there's never anybody there.
When we've done some stuff with them, they said like they made like $500,000 in the first 30 days.
There's one not far from our house. I never see anybody there.
One at Humbledale, too.
Yeah, it's not like In-N-Out where it's busy all the time. But they're pretty busy. It's pretty frequently.
Just a hot dog.
If they open one by me, I'd keep them in business for myself.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going John Ron.
That's fair.
Quit complaining with your $300 million and just pay your little thing so you can play the Ryder Cup U.
I don't get why, like, people, like, the LIV guys, all of them.
LIV is dead.
It's
the Brooks. The Brooks Koepka thing coming back is just the start.
How much of it did you watch? I know you like golf.
I didn't watch a single second of it.
I didn't either. Like when they first announced it, and then the guy started signing on, I was like, I think I'm in on this. And I never watched a single.
I shouldn't say I didn't watch a single second. I did put it on for a couple seconds just so I could say I saw it one time. And you know what's why it wasn't watchable? Because they're playing music in the background the whole time.
Yeah,
like loud. And it's going through the TV. I'm like, this sounds horrible.
Yeah, and then now they're all complaining too because they changed it to normal. 4-day golf tournament instead of 3 days, which I get why I would be if I was a golfer. Part of the reason why you do it is
because it's less golf.
You're making more money with less golf.
Yeah, but they also had to bring it back so they could get their world golf rankings.
Yeah,
because they didn't recognize it.
Yeah, so I get it, but
it's dead.
Brian,
I've got a few. First, alleged Notre Dame fan Joe George. I think you went the entire show without mentioning the passing of Lou Holtz.
Yeah, I was going to mention it here for my junk of the day.
Well, I'll beat you to it.
Still all over the place.
I'm curious what your reasoning behind it is.
What do you mean? I just told you what the reasoning was.
Oh, okay.
The fact that, I mean, Lou Holtz, I mean, we went the full show. We didn't even mention it.
Yeah,
alleged Notre Dame fan, Joe George.
I'm trying my best not to integrate, you know, my stuff. I didn't even mention the
Fake
Cubs
fan.
Slogan.
Fake fan, Joe
What's
George.
The Cubs slogan?
This.
What?
Oh, yeah.
This.
It's just this. Just the word is this.
I don't get it either.
All right, the Astros isn't that bad.
Yeah, Mike comparison.
This.
Other nominations, Clayton Kershaw still pitching. I know the Rockies are facing Team USA, but the Rockies continue to be like the worst organization in all sports.
Yeah.
Lost 14-4 to Team USA today. So those are my junkies. Oh, and then obviously Jeremy Pena's finger.
World Baseball Classic was on my list. Jerome Moore's alleged mistress has been fired by the University of Michigan.
How much do you think he's regretting getting fired there? Do you see the lady who just got hired as their head of recruiting?
He's probably really upset.
Yeah.
I've not seen her.
That's also maybe why they had to fire him, because, you know, he's a problem. And then I'm going to nominate, with the passing of Lou Holtz that you mentioned, I have to nominate ESPN, because I got a push notification that he passed away.
Yeah.
Didn't really. I just kind of scrolled away from it. And then I got a second one.
Okay.
About 20 minutes later. Lou Holtz nearly died. like a month ago. So like, yeah. This is something that like, you knew was coming. You kind of have everything ready to go for this moment. Well, in their official, in their first story they put out, they put Lou Holtz, winner of the 1998 National Championship game.
That's not accurate.
And then they had to put a correction. Lou Holtz won the 1988 National Championship. It's one thing to get things wrong.
Yeah, some 22-year-old writing your stories.
Like, when guys pass, you kind of got to get the information correct.
Should have been in the can, like you said, for months.
Yeah. Like
if not more, than the guy's in his 80s.
Yeah, like he literally almost died a month
ago. Ryan, you remember back in the day, we used to have all that Milo Hamilson stuff in the can for when he died.
Oh, we were ready for years in advance.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things you do.
Yeah.
I used to have montages. Like, I would pre-make them going into an Astro season of, okay, George Springer's contract is ending. And I would start saving George Springer highlights. For that, when we got to the offseason, I knew he was going
to
walk
ready to
away.
Go.
Just the montage was already pre-produced, and literally the second you signed somewhere else,
play,
good to go, ready to be there. All right, that will do it for today here on Jeremy and Joe. He's Michael Connor. Michael, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Joe.
We're not far away from you getting on a flight, and maybe Michael Connor is your pilot. We'll be there soon.
Pray all right, for you.
I'm out for the rest of the week. Brian, Jeremy, have you the rest of the way on Thursday and Friday. I'll be back Monday. Brandon back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
We chase the fight.